In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Walk about Zion, go around her, count her towers, mark well her ramparts, consider her citadels, that you may tell it to the next generation. We've prayed that little verse of Psalm 48 from the Gradual a few times already this year. And in it, the children of Israel are told to take a walk and inspect their Zion, which is the temple of the Lord on the mountain in Jerusalem. The psalm says, learn to know it intimately, like the back of your hand. Be able to number every tower, every wall, every room. Know what their purposes are. Who built them? Why they matter? And know it so well that you love it. And then, pass it on to the next generation with every detail so that your children will be devoted to it also, so that they may possess the same treasure which you do, so that they may recognize and know if anything has become out of place, and so that they will know when necessary how to rebuild it and restore it. Now, we don't sing this little part of the psalm about that historic Zion, about the old temple that finally was destroyed and then was not rebuilt in Jerusalem. No, we sing this psalm about the holy Christian church. That is the Lord's Zion on earth now. And of course, this Zion isn't just in one place. It isn't just one temple on one mountain in one city. This Zion, this church, is everywhere that the Lord gathers His people, where He is worshipped in spirit and in truth. And the church's towers and bulwarks and citadels, they aren't steeples or stained glass windows. No. They are the precious teachings of God Himself. They are the gospel purely preached in all of its articles, and the blessed holy sacraments rightly used. They are the faith once and for all delivered to the saints. Or, as St. Paul describes it to the Ephesians, the church is the household of God, built on the foundation of prophets and apostles, with Christ Jesus Himself as the cornerstone. Know your church. Mark well her defining features. Be at home in her. Which isn't to say, love this building. But know what you believe and why you believe it. And know it so well that you love it. That you talk about it with your fellow members. That you pass it on to the next generation, so that your children will be devoted to it also, so that they possess that same treasure, and so they will know if anything becomes out of place, and so they will know when necessary how to rebuild it or restore it. Now, tomorrow is Reformation Day. We remember with thanksgiving how the Lord once restored His church, His New Testament Zion, back to its foundations through the work of Martin Luther 500 years ago. And we remember it all the more because we are Lutherans by name. But do we know why? Do we know what that means? Have we numbered the towers and the bulwarks of the Lutheran confession and teaching? Are we so familiar with it that we too are passing it along to our children? Will we know or even notice if anything has become out of place? Well, these are very good questions for Reformation Day, especially for this coming year, which, as we've already said many times, marks 500 years since the work of the Reformation began with Luther's 95 Theses. And the words of our gradual from Psalm 48 are an excellent goal for each of us, for our whole congregation together. In the coming year, you take a good walkabout through your church. Not this building, not some building in St. Louis, Missouri, or in Wittenberg, Germany, but take a walk through the teaching and the confession of the Lutheran Church. And mark it well. Consider it. Learn and know it for yourself. Because why in the world should anyone, including us, be Lutherans? Why, unless it is the truth, and you are convinced of that yourself? Why, unless it is the Lord's own teaching and confession, and not something that Martin Luther or anyone else made up or figured out on their own? And then, if it actually is, to confidently know what we believe and why we believe it, and pass it on faithfully to those that we meet, those who come after us also, and to hold fast and steadfast this confession and this church, as all of us, in fact, have promised at our confirmation vows. Jesus says it this way himself in the gospel. Abide in my word, and you are truly my disciples. You will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. Abide, remain, walk about through his word. As if walking through the halls of Zion itself. And not occasionally, not casually or thoughtlessly, but going around, marking, numbering, considering it. Being a member of the church, the Holy Christian Church, is being a disciple. It is a hearer, a learner of Christ's word who abides in it. Because then you'll know more than just buildings, more than just a few facts here and there, some forgotten memory work, a list of rules. Jesus says that whoever abides in his word as a disciple will know the truth. Whoever continues throughout their life to be corrected, warned, instructed, but then most of all comforted by this word, that person knows what it is to be set free. Whoever knows what they believe and why they believe it, they will remain in it because they know that they have just got to have this Son, the Son who sets them free indeed. And as such a person has received freely, so they pass on what they have received to the next generation also. We begin a year of marking and numbering the Holy Christian Church and her precious teachings today with the cornerstone, with the chief doctrine and the teaching of Christianity that is at the center, which was obscured until it was recovered in the Reformation. If we want to take a view and know the true church and its proper teaching, we have to join with Luther in returning to the Word of God alone and abiding in it, as Jesus said. Luther was ready and he was willing to listen, to be corrected by the Scriptures, to be enlightened by them, and therefore, and then comforted and set free by them also. Because that is where the words of Jesus are found. The foundation of the church is the prophetic and the apostolic Scriptures. These Scriptures which testify and point us back to Jesus. And the chief doctrine is this: that everyone who commits sin is a slave to sin. And only through the Son are we set free from that. The law stops the mouths of every person. The whole world is accountable, guilty before God. For who is Jesus talking to when he says, "Whoever commits sin is enslaved to it"? That's everybody. Knowing the law only, what we ought to do, what we should not do, that doesn't save us. That can't turn our life around, because knowing that information doesn't give us the power to do it. Our deepest bondage isn't that we are ignorant of what is right and good. It's our stubbornness, our arrogance, our selfishness not to do it. Through the law, whether it's God's eternal and true standard or it's the low bars that we set almost daily for ourselves, through these we learn about our failings, about our sin, which Jesus says enslaves us. How then can we be saved? If there is nothing that can be done to pull ourselves out of our own mess, how can a slave set himself free? He can't. But what good news, what gospel it is to learn that there is a Son who sets us free. There is one who has taken our place, one who has liberated us, one who has given his own place by right to make us right. And he is the cornerstone of the church, Jesus Christ. Now the righteousness of God, which we sinners have never achieved for all of our attempts to justify ourselves, now God's righteousness has been revealed to us apart from our doings. Now the righteousness of God that is through faith in Jesus Christ has been revealed. And that is the chief cornerstone teaching of the church. All have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. All are justified by His grace as a gift through Jesus' work of redemption, which is received not by works, but by faith alone. Our God has put forward His Son, the one who abides forever in the house. He has put Him forward as an atoning sacrifice, that great word, propitiation. By His blood, Jesus turned away the wrath of the Father against your sin. And so you are forgiven which in the Bible is a word that means set free. Set free from your sins. The greatest truth of all time is that your God is the justifier of the one who has faith in Jesus. He declares sinners righteous. He calls slaves His free sons now. And so you are. His promise delivers it. Believe it, because the Lord is the truth. We hold that a person is justified by faith alone, apart from the works of the law. God has shown His gracious favor, His undeserved kindness to sinners, that grace alone, by grace alone, we are truly His disciples. He has reconciled us to God. And all who abide in His Scriptures, in His Word alone, they are truly His disciples, as the Gospel says. We walk about, we consider and abide in His household now as legitimate sons, as heirs, not as slaves. We are free from sin and death and hell. Consider and mark this truth, dearly beloved Lutherans. Learn to know and to love and to delight in this above all else. Tell it also to the next generation. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen.